Hello, everyone. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and today is Tuesday, February 10th, 2015. And I have with me our second sequel, I guess you would just say it's the sequel, with Tory Smith. And for all of you that don't remember very much about him, he is a planetary healer. He is completely on fire about justice and freedom and bringing the child trafficking scene to an end. Wouldn't we all love to have that? He's very determined and committed. He's willing to put his life on the line daily, if not hourly, to bring this atrocious agenda by our government, our Vatican, etc., to an end. And because of his experiences, his healings are phenomenal. He's a very powerful healer. He's also just totally coming from the heart. I think you guys will definitely agree as you get to know him better. And he brings with him an amazing gift of being able to read people's DNA. And he can provide you an amazing amount of detail, everything from how much sacred light you hold to the planets that you've traveled to, etc. So we're going to dive in today and get some more details on galactic stuff, something that we all yearn for, I think. So, hi, Tori. Thanks for coming on with me today.
Thank you.
I always enjoy talking to you. And so the first thing right out the gate is a lot of activities going on and a lot of changes are going on in the last 48, 72, maybe even 4 or 5 days.
Yes.
I thought I'd like to ask you, what is your take on this whole operation that's coming to a head?
Well, you know, because I knew we were coming into something last week, because I'd heard from several different astrologers that I really liked that there was a big gateway opening. Yeah. I think it was between the 21st and 23rd. And I just instinctively knew something big was coming. And but a lot of the times I don't know. You know, I'm not good with future. You know, my skill is reading the past.
Right.
And helping people understand who they are. So I usually know nothing about the future and just go on instinct. But I knew something was big because the energy, you know, I've been doing energy work for decades. And I've been doing as much as I can, and heaven guides me, but it's been expanding. But last week, it just went huge. And things were opening up that were never available to us before. And I was really excited about it. And then, you know, I love to scan the internet and stuff and sit around, and I'm kind of, you know, my angels and spirit guides kind of guide me to this person's side or that person's side. And I heard people saying, well, I think that they believe that the veil was lifting. And I thought, well, you know, and I think, well, because we always say to try to be careful what words are, because sometimes we use different words for the same thing.
I agree.
And, but I just had this moment. I'm doing these very special, very targeted energy blasts where the energy flows from heaven through me directly into the My Labs and the child traffickers and the evidence of what they've done.
Excellent.
And it's not as much as I've become involved in all this, it's not my place to expose all of this. The universe will take care of that in its own way. But by sending and channeling energy to the evidence and to the people involved and to the people that are actually committing these things, it just changes the whole dynamics of it. And it was a couple of nights ago. I've never experienced this in my life. And I was so, my astral body was so big, and I was like so up in the clouds. And all of a sudden I saw a star right in front of me. And it was so clear. Everything around, it was just all these horrible energies that we've all been combating for so long were gone. The microwave, the, you know, these, I can't even, the Gwen towers and scalar weapons. And I mean, you know, the harp weapons. I mean, there's so many different energies we're being bombarded with. We're all gone. And I just blurted out, I'm in this singularity. And I don't really even know what that is,
yeah.
But I knew that I was in it, and I was just really excited. I was like, wow, everything is so clear.
I felt the same thing. There was a huge, huge shift this week. The sense of peace and the lack of chaos in the inner plane was so obvious to me. And I had a very interesting experience last night. I was making remedies for the implant removals. And I was making custom formulas like the ones I've made for you. And I had, for the very first time, come in an archangel, an actual walking, talking archangel who ordered this process. And, you know, I have angels that come in all the time. But this was very different. And I became very emotional. I couldn't stop crying. And my husband was like, are you okay? Should we stop? You know, I was like, "Whoa!" You know, just losing it. And I said, oh my God, this is it. Something has happened. And he is a messenger. He's come to share this with me. And I didn't even really want to call him he, because he was androgynous, right? Is that how you said? And anyway, and he just kept saying, no, you're right, Alexander. We've done this many times before. We've worked together on this before. We're very, very close. So then I woke up and I found a couple more messages. Well, last night, Tori, at 4:44 in the morning, I had the most restless night's sleep. I couldn't sleep. I was just like, I heard all these voices and I was hearing all these communications and groups of people talking and everything. And finally, I just said, okay, stop, you know. And it was Father God. And he said, you need to write this down or you won't remember it. So in the middle of the night, 4:44, I wrote down my message. I put it on the blog today. But basically, the gist of it was they showed me the skies were completely cleared. They were basically covered in this very, very thick cloud cover. And in the center was this gigantic portal. And this light just was beaming down and blasting the planet. And I looked at it, and I looked at him, and he said, yes, it's the same type of operation that we did in Africa with you. And I said, yeah, that's what I thought, because it looks very similar. He said, yes, this is the same type of thing. And I said, so we're getting rid of the really bad, you know, the big, the ones that are left, the 12% that are left. He said, yes, we are. I said, great. I said, well, why don't we just have all of the angels that have suddenly descended on the planet. And, you know, there's word right now that there's no interference. Like, they can just, if they see somebody being messed with, they don't have to be, oh, I need to get their permission to interfere. They're saying that that's off the books now. And I said, so why don't we just have them do that? And he said, oh, you don't understand. You know, these dark ones, they're very good at hopping dimensions and changing shapes and finding different bodies to jump into and all kinds of things. He said, we don't want to mess with that. That's too much work. So we're just going to go ahead and just remove them. And I mean, I just lost it. I was just like, oh my God. So you said you got a message. Was it similar to that?
Yes. And really? Because, you know, and there's so many, you know, I'm not a spiritual teacher, so I'm not the one probably to explain this out really well, but we all know that there are certain edicts and laws and in natural order of the universe that are in place that, like, say, a galactic person can't just land on the planet and arrest someone who's committed a crime. You know what I mean? There's laws of no interference and such.
Yeah.
Okay, well, one of the messages that I got today was that all of that is over. There is absolutely no, it's like a no holds barred removal of all the dark and all of the, like you said, where the angels don't need permission to come in, because I know that Father God came up with this 300,000 years ago when he was looking at Atlantis and Lemuria, he saw what was going on. And I made a joke with him today, and I said, what did it take you, like a millisecond of our time to come up with this huge plan 300,000 years ago to bring it to life? It was a little bit longer. So I thought, yeah, it was funny.
That's hilarious.
But it's all all of the dark is, it's just basically all of their power is gone and everything is basically completed. Because see, things had to be in a divine order, I know for sure, because like, for example, certain things couldn't occur until all the Dracos were gone. And then there were these other ones that we were arresting that had physical bodies, because the Dracos didn't have physical bodies, the ones I knew anyway. And then we came up to this other level, and I think there were roughly about 300,000 of them, and I was working with the Galactics to arrest them, and Heaven, of course. And but they had physical bodies. They were 97% reptilian, 3% human, and they could only appear human for a couple of hours. Wow. And they all lived underground. A lot of them were involved in the My Labs and whatnot. And if somebody wants to see them, all you have to do is Google reptilians.
Yeah.
And you can see images, the classic.
Now, do you agree that the Dracos have, like, these big, humongous wings behind them? There are pictures that depict them like that.
Well, yes. There are – well, what I know now is, after doing DNA research – is there's 1,271 types of reptilians in our galaxy.
Wow.
And almost all of them are benevolent now. That's because the Galactic War is over. This is the last place in our solar – in the galaxy that the Galactic War was still occurring here on Earth. In
so
our solar
not Mars and not the moon.
Well, no, I would say, should say here in our solar system was the last place that the Galactic War was being carried out. And it was time to clear, because Heaven wants the Milky Way galaxy to move into the light.
Right.
And so the rule of the land right now is you either move into the light or you leave.
Right.
And the way people are leaving are entities, beings, aliens, whatever you want to call everybody here. The way people are leaving is several different ways. Some of them, like Satan and Lucifer – and Baphomet, Anu, a whole bunch of them, and especially the ones like in the Babylonian times, which many people call God, they were at a point where it was impossible for them to change. And so Father God put them into the uncreated mass.
Mm.
That's where Satan and Lucifer went.
The uncreated mass?
Yes. Well,
what do
you
mean by that?
Well, there are 18 halls and temples in Heaven. They say at the gate of Heaven, like the Hall of Records is the first one in the door, so to speak.
Okay.
And most of the time, see, when people die, first thing that they usually do is they go to the Hall of Charts or the Hall of Records, and they go to the scanning machine, and they see the recorded history of their life, because everything in this reality is recorded, not just for those of us from Heaven who come here and incarnate or incarnate from other divine places, but also everything that the dark entities do has been recorded. And what's fascinating is that we record through our eyes and ears in our own DNA, but Heaven also records like the big picture. So it's just like in the TV series Star Trek, when they say, oh yeah, okay, well, let's see what's going on. Bring it up on the big screen. And they go right down and they can show you what's going on there. It's almost like there's a camera there. Well, that's the way Heaven operates. There's video records of everything. Everything you've ever done is recorded. And so when we die, we go back and we go to the scanning machine. And then also sometimes when we're very, very close to death, but it's not our time to go, we will bilocate, go to the scanning machine, witness in very quick time, and then we'll say, oh my God, I saw my whole life pass right before my eyes. Well, most people don't know what happened was you just went to Heaven, bilocated, you were standing in front of the scanning machine and you saw the whole thing. And then they come back and then they go on, because it's like a gentle reminder, so to speak.
How cool
but,
is that?
But yeah, there's the energy shift. But the big part of the message that I got was, but see, the Illuminati call it the grid, because because some people call it the veil. I was calling it the energy matrix, because I knew what I saw was like a cloud of energy around our planet imposed on us by the dark side.
Yeah.
And I knew it wasn't, to me a veil is just simply something to block, and it has one purpose, mm-hmm. although we all have our own words. And I was calling it an energy matrix, because I said, now wait a minute, there's all kinds of things going on with this energy field that's around us, and it is to super enhance the weapons, It is to suppress energies that are coming down from heaven, making it very difficult for most of us to communicate with the divine in heaven on the higher dimensions up. And there were, and then heaven told me, well, they, because I had pointed out like three or four different things going on, like the way they travel. And because the reptilian, the dark entity reptilians and the Insectians, like you were saying, they can jump dimensions and stuff like that. That's how they come into our home, is they have these technologies where they just show up. I mean, my house has become, well, technically it's my home. My mother owns the house. It became like a subway station. People just show up all times, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's popping in, popping out, over and over again. CIA agents, DEA, TSA, FBI.
Are you serious?
Secret Service, presidents, people from Russia, you name it. It's just people would just show up. And I'm just like, who the are you? And it's just like, now I'm used to it. It's sad, but I'm kind of used to it. You know, and we'd go through where, and it doesn't occupy the same space because sometimes, and I'll look up, and because my skills have developed over time, and I'll ask the universe, okay, how many are here? 79. And it doesn't make sense because you might be in a room that's maybe like 20 by 10. But yet you can, if you kind of focus, because you can't really see them, they're invisible. But if you use your third eye and your psychic abilities, then you kind of say, okay, here they are. They're all right in front of me and they're in a group. And suddenly, it's almost like the physicality disappears and you're looking into their dimension, which the walls don't exist. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens when they come into the home. Like, and then they do this other thing where they come in and attach to people while we're sleeping and they drain our life force energy out of us. So a couple of weeks ago, I had 150 something. I think it was 158 of them attached to me all at one time. And I woke up and I'm just like, oh, here we go. You know, and then so I call in the zero point. It kind of snaps them off of me. And then another dude that I met, he lives over in Europe somewhere, taught me that you can bind them, which was a great asset. So I've been doing that. So then I'd bind them, and then I'd ask God to put a golden rubber band around them to pull them in. Because, you know, like when you buy like parsley, it's in a rubber band and it's real tight.
Yeah.
So I like they're all scattered around. So I put this band around them to put them all in one. And then I use the sacred fire and I throw sacred fireballs at them.
That's so funny.
And that takes away all our energy.
We've done a similar thing where we captured them in a net and then threw them in the pit.
That's
and
awesome.
Then we just let them, you know, let the heaven, the company of heaven decide what do you want to do with them now. Getting back to you said you call it a zero point. Can you tell everybody?
Well, hold on. If I could say something about this energy field, I could finish up with that. Because I could talk. I love zero point energy. It's just so amazing what it does. It's just it just does everything, basically.
I agree.
But what heaven told me is the gist of the message was, now it's up to us. Everything on the galactic side has been done. Everything on heaven's side has been done. It's basically all us, up to us, and that's going to happen by our desire, by our awakening. And there's all the constraints, all of that has been lifted. It's lifted, and the grid is gone. But see, we could just use the Illuminati word. That's an easy word, the grid, the energy grid that they had. And it goes along with the grid lines. And I thought, well, you know, and then this is how I get things. And then heaven, you know, and I thought, well, and I knew because I kept hearing these guys. You know, because that's what happens. We become more fully conscious. You can connect to anyone in the universe and talk with them telepathically.
Right.
And since, you know, my last activation, a lot of that is kicking in. Well, I can hear people.
That's great.
It's not like voices in my head, like ego per se. I mean, I literally hear people, especially if I'm focused on what they're saying about me or whatever, or someone that's just been in the house. Then I can hear them and I keep, how the heck is the grid? Well, I won't use the language thing, but how is the grid down? How is the grid down? We lost the grid. How are we going to do this without the grid? You know, the New World Order plans of taking over.
Yeah, definitely.
They don't have the grid. And then it dawned on me, now wait a minute, because all these like football stadiums, because we went through a big ordeal with the Super Bowl. Well, they got absolutely zero power out of the Super Bowl. So this has been a crazy week for me because we, meaning me and heaven and a lot of people praying on this planet, took so much sacred and divine energies and put it into the Super Bowl, completely negating what they would get out of it normally, because they harvest energy off of us.
Yes.
And they didn't get a drop. And then we were putting sacred light in there. Saint Germain came in. We created a huge globe of the Supermax Silver Violet Flame around the entire Super Bowl. So all the people who were there, if there were any fighting or bickering or whatever, all of that energy was immediately transmuted into the light. So the dark side didn't get a nothing out of that. It wasn't even a drop.
You know, Tori, just to interject, you were mentioning that everything is done, now it's up to us. That's the same message that came in this morning at 4:44 with me, where they said, now it's time for us to take action. The only wars that will eventually, you know, they said wars are going to cease on the planet, but they said eventually the only war that we are really going to have to focus on is our internal war of all the layers and all the programming and all the belief systems that we've accumulated. They said that's the work that we need to do. And they basically told me to put out an alert to the healer industry and to get them all ready. That's basically the message that came in today.
That's wonderful. Because, yeah, it's desire for justice and desire for freedom. To me, those are the two main ingredients for our success. It's not even like we really even have to do anything physical.
Yes.
You know, because certainly going out and making a big sign and carrying it in the street, that's not going to get you anywhere.
Right.
It's all really up in here. And I think humans don't realize, because we are creators and we have a special power available to us because we're flowing. And then we add our personal creativity. We add, because what I know to be true is we pull energies from the divine, from the higher dimensions of our universe, but then we add our own to it. And that combination is, I mean, humans are awesome. We're awesome. We've been so beaten up and raped and murdered and have all this crap done to us for so long.
Yeah.
But now is our time. It's our time now, because the dark entity reptilians, well, the Insectians are gone. The Zetas, the Archons, the dark entity Mantids are gone. The Saturn is empty. I don't know how many. There were millions of non-physical Archons in Saturn. They're gone.
Awesome.
The sun has been cleaned. And I think was Mars. Mars has the process of cleansing. Mars is complete. And see, they were the colony that was living inside Mars was a huge control group for the Illuminati, you know, the Bushes, the Reagans, the Clintons, the Obamas, the Cheneys, and Windsors, and Netanyahu, and the Vatican, and all the control, the Rockefeller, Rothschilds, the control group here. They were getting a lot of power from Mars. And there was a big movement because most of the people in Mars were predominantly reptilian. Well, there was a certain percentage, I think it was like 18 or 20% Insectian. Well, they were the first to go because they just, I don't know how the Galactics took them. I haven't had time to look. And now the entire planet has been cleared out. But see, so much of the guidance, see, there's been, I don't know the right word, either level or layers of support for the New World Order here, or Illuminati, or whatever you want to call the dark, I just call them the dark side, it's just easier. But it's just, you know, it started with the Anunnaki, and they lost them, and then they lost this, and then they lost the other thing, and then they lost the sun, and then they lost Saturn, and then they lost Mars. And you know what I mean? It's just they keep losing and losing, and now they lost the grid, and I keep hearing this all day long. We can't do anything without the grid. I mean, we could probably talk about the grid for 2 hours, and you know, and I'm not even an expert about it, but there was just layer after layer of energies and weapons and stuff going on with this grid, and now it's gone. So basically, that was the big message. It's really up to us, and all we need, in my eyes, is, you know, and I'm sure everybody else can add their 2 cents in, is desire for justice and desire for freedom. And it's not like we need to take control of the planet. We just need to go with the flow. You know what I mean?
And also learn how to cooperate and lead by example, not by oppressing someone else's viewpoint.
Yes.
You know, I've talked about that many times. It's like we need to get to a place where it's okay if you have a different opinion. It's okay if you have a different approach to get there. This is about us galactically learning to be at a table and accept that other people are going to have different ways of seeing things. It's not where we have to come to a table and, you know, one person is the authority and everyone needs to ultimately agree with that one person.
And, you know, and the way I see that is that now I can have everything I want. And the old way was, well, if I'm going to get everything I want, that means it has to be taken from others. That's over.
Exactly.
I can have everything I want, and everybody else can have everything they want, and my getting everything I want has nothing taking anything away from you or anybody else.
Totally.
It's prosperity and abundance time, and we can all have whatever we want, and my getting what I want doesn't bring harm to anybody else. So that whole thing of, oh, the haves and the have-nots is over.
Yeah, that's old paradigm. And the fact that all we ever hear about is that everything is of abundance, and now we actually can allow the universe to respond and mirror that which we want. We need to retrain our brains now in the way that we're thinking and the way that we feel that we have to attain what we want. That's really where it's at now. This is a whole new ball game. And it's not like we haven't talked about it, but now, because the playing field has now been cleared, it's all that responsibility is now back on our shoulders. Instead of looking outside ourselves and going, oh, that was an Archon, or oh, that was a Draco, or that was Illuminati, now it's really being put back in our lap. Big time.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, so it's time to take it, because we're going to, you know, even before we get to that point, we're going to just have to take a breather. Well, some of us are going to have to take a breather, because some of us have been working our butts off for years, and other people are, you know, completely oblivious, and they're going to go into a state of shock when they realize. But a lot of people, I think, chose to be on the planet that way, that they would say, you know, that's too much for me.
Yeah.
It would overload me, because I've come in contact with people, and I just slightly mentioned things, you know, that are going on in my life, and they, you know, because our souls can talk to each other, and it would just overload them. They're like, oh, no, you know what I mean?
It happens. Yeah. In fact, I really enjoy any day that I go out to grab, you know, gasoline or food or whatever. I love to drop a bomb. You know, like, just kind of a subtle, calm little, like, oh, did you see the chemtrail today? And that's another thing. I want to ask the audience this. Have you noticed that there were chemtrails that showed up and they disappeared as quickly as they showed up this last couple of days? I knew something was going on. Did you notice that?
Well, ours are, you know, we've been going through, because before it was, they were there every day, heavy spraying every
big
day.
Time.
And then we would go through a period where you'd hardly see one for like several days.
Yeah.
And then they would come back, and then you would hardly see any. And then they would come back like crazy. And it was just like the entire sky was covered.
Yeah.
So it went from systematic to kind of random. And because I created I have one here, a Cloudbuster right here in the house.
Oh, right on.
I brought it in for the winter because I didn't want to leave it outside with the, you know, we got 17 inches of snow in the past couple of days, so I didn't want to leave it out there stuff.
So, Terry, what do you feel, you know, the other message I got this morning was, I said, well, what about the Klingons? What about those that are, like, clinging on to the people? And they said, well, now, wait a minute here. With this whole process is about us learning and also understanding that the choices that we make, and that would be through fear, are choices that we need to learn from. We need to evolve from it. You know, he very clearly stated, we are not here to do the job for you. We are here to assist you in your learning process. What do you have to add to that?
Yeah, so that was a big part of the message today.
You too. Okay.
It's basically like heaven saying, okay, we've done our part. Now it's up to you.
Okay.
You know, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to, because it, the timeline that we're on, you know, it's like so many things have happened. If this takes us 3 days, it'll be done. Or if it takes us 3 years, it'll be done.
Yeah.
But it's really all up to us. The ball is in our court. But for the first time in over 13,000 years, we're not oppressed. And okay. And just all these energies have happened and
13,000 years. 13,000 years. Oh my God. And I thought it was a lot longer than that. I thought that we started, you know, and that'd be something great for you to tap in on, okay? Supposedly from the first time we incarnated onto planet Earth, we were implanted, okay? Like we were processed by the Empire. And supposedly that was 300,000 to 400,000 years ago. And they say, and I've been wanting to ask you this, and I know other people would love to hear your opinion. They say that when you die and you go into that, whatever, it's the first, second, or third heaven, and you're asked, you know, okay, you need to review your life and all this, and you go into the whole thing about supposedly you're very sorrowful for what you've done and that kind of thing. And they say that basically they take the soul and they process it back in through a system where it's zapped with such a high voltage of electricity that not only does it wipe out your memories so that you're born again without your gifts, without your memories, under a veil, but it also supposedly wipes out a lot of your natural gifts of being human. So I was curious if you've seen anything like that.
Well, there's, you know, because there's several things that can happen to us when we die. And then it also, our species kind of interplays in with that as well. Because the dark side, most of their death and recycling was controlled by the Archons. And this was shocking to me when I first saw it, like, this is how royalty has lasted so long, because when great grandpa would die, somehow his soul would be taken and put into a great grandchild of the same family.
Yeah, God, that's crazy.
Or they would also, because it's not just one rule fits all. Or they would take people and put them, they would give them the rewards, because I see so many people that worked in the concentration camps in Germany in World War II as famous Hollywood actors. And a lot of the times I can't watch a movie. There's a movie coming up, Jupiter Ascending, which I really wanted to see, but I can't go see it because I have issues with two of the actors. But one of them I can't even stand to look at because he's killed so many people in one of the concentration camps. And so they have their little reward system. And so souls are definitely guided, and then there's a lot of people that are, you know, because there were strictly reptilians that had to use technology to appear human, and then there's human reptilian blends, but the thing is, there's like no set rule, because human reptilian blends can be benevolent. And so the soul, when they die, it really depends on whether their sacred light content, you know, if they're recycled back into another lifetime here or whatever, or go to heaven. And because I've seen people who are human reptilian go to heaven when they die because they were benevolent. And then they can, something, I don't know, because I obviously can't explain, you know, what the soul is.
Right.
But I really believe that we can jump species if we want to, because when I read DNA, I'm incorporating how many different species of human that we've been. And, you know, because a lot of times someone has been 14 different species of human, and I don't even know what they are, you know what I mean? I'm trying to figure that, because I'm in a learning process.
Right.
And then, so some of us, though, excuse me, when we don't have the 51% sacred light, most of the souls, there's the divine director and the lords of karma. And all the lords of karma are ascended masters, but not all ascended masters are lords of karma. And so then there's heaven and divinity guiding what happens to the soul. And they just take the soul, and it really depends on what lessons they did not learn or haven't had a breakthrough yet. They're put into the womb of another mother, into a family, and the conditions where they will learn or have an opportunity to learn the lessons that they didn't learn where they just died from.
But Tori, do you feel that in some cases many of us feel that there was an intrusion in that process by the dark agenda to literally guide that soul into a very, very disruptive family and story? You know, I really agree with the whole statement of how many times do you have to reincarnate to learn your lesson if we're already ascended beings in the first place?
Well, see, I have a slightly different take on that. I don't really think it so much learning the lesson as it is lifting your sacred light to a point where you can move on. Because sometimes we don't learn the lesson. Sometimes we come here and we say, okay, well, I want to do this and I want to do that. But things happen because the future is malleable. It's not set. And that basically what I see as I see this pattern of lifetime after lifetime after lifetime we have, that the only big difference is in our lifetimes is what happens to you right after the death process and before the birth process. That's what is different. And there's not too many variables on that, but it's different for all of us. Some of us, when we have sacred light, we go back to heaven and camp out there for a while, then we choose to come back and do another lifetime. Sometimes with the dark entities, they just recycle immediately. Sometimes they're held. And then there's all kinds of other stuff that was going on with our souls that the dark entity reptilians and the Dracos were really big on that, the ones with the wings, that they would harvest human souls, and they were taking souls and putting them in, well, like the cubes.
Yes.
They had these cube ships where, because there was one of them, there was like 100,000 human souls trapped in the individual containers on this ship. There was a cube. I think that's where it's so funny how so much of reality is mirrored in Hollywood.
Yes.
Whether it's by intent, whether it's by purposely doing it or not purposely doing it, or people pulling stuff from memory, like in this Borg cube from Star Trek.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the times our creative people are just remembering stuff, but they don't really remember it. You know, it's like thought, well, you're talking about having our memories wiped out. Well, not everything gets wiped out. And then we get older and we say, oh, wouldn't it be cool? I think I'm going to create a story about this. No, that's you remembering, like Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's all. George Lucas did most of that from memory.
And I don't think really about know. It. That's why Star Wars was so incredibly successful, because it was everyone's subliminal memory.
It wasn't a story being told to us. It was our story.
Yeah, exactly.
It was our story there with all the lasers and the lights and ships and all of that. It was like, hey, that's us.
Well,
that's us.
So, Tori, do you feel that, you know, for those of us who've had exceptionally difficult childhoods and difficult family structures and very intense, you know, rape and torture and oppression and all kinds of things that have happened to us in our younger youthful, you know, age group, do you feel that the reason that we went through that was to increase our sacred light, like, in a big way for this lifetime?
Well, those experiences make us advance faster.
Okay.
And there are people that come in. Well, there's people in heaven that say, I will never, ever go to the earth. And they stay in heaven. They're like, there's no way in hell I'm going down there and all that. They don't go. I mean, I don't know how many people there are in heaven, but there's a lot of them. And there's other people who come in and they say, okay, well, I'll go in, but I want to have a pristine, fabulous life. I don't want to get sick. You know, I'll get some colds and flus, but I'm not going to get cancer. I'm not going to get AIDS. I'm not going to get anything big. No broken bones, no car accidents. I'll go in and I'll leave it happy. And you can look around. You see couples that have been married for 80 years, and they were maybe farmers. They've had a very simple, peaceful life, and they've been happy.
Right.
And that's great because they anchor the frequency. And a lot of people don't realize that just being helps when it's a high frequency. Well, if you were at a dark side, then you were involved in all a bunch of crap and
very
committing crimes
point.
And all that stuff. But it's just like a huge play that we choose to come in and play our part when we come from heaven anyway, or other places like heaven, the same level. But then in the dark side, you know, they have their own thing going on with the recycling of the souls and stuff. So it's just like this huge, massive collaboration here in the third dimension that is just absolutely amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. So there's just so much going on.
Well, so tell everybody a little bit about some of your galactic travels. I think can kind of live vicariously through an average night that you have.
Well, and very, very soon they're not going to be living vicariously through anybody anymore because that's one of the primary reasons why I've been doing DNA readings is because, like, it's not, you know, our memories, they are kind of wiped out, but I really think it's just made invisible, disconnect, because all the memories are all still there. All you have to do is awaken them. And then, you know, because I've had people, and I go, oh, yeah, well, you lived in 26 different star systems, and you've had, you know, 1,295 lives. And they're like, what? You know what I mean? They just freak out. But it's kind of a thing, and then it's a process of how much we want to remember and how quickly and so forth. But I kind of forgot the question you asked.
That's okay. Before you answer my question, when you look at your DNA reports, you talk about how many strands of DNA are activated, and you apparently have 784,000 strands of DNA activated.
728 is my current level.
728, and you said that nobody has more than 1 million, but that most of the people here have 144,000 or less.
Okay, but what I try never to do is say what's not possible in the universe. Because from what I've seen, it just seems to me like almost anything is possible.
Yeah.
But what I have seen is that what I believe or what my mentality is capable of understanding so far, that right around 1 million strands activated, fully functional, is a state we call fully conscious.
Wow.
No matter what because when I've looked at galactic reptilians, or galactic humans, everybody seemed, like one time I pulled up and it was 1,000,007 strands activated. And it just seems to be that people in heaven, like when we die and go back and we're normal and we're our normal real selves in heaven, we've got about 1 million strands activated, fully functional. And so, but I wouldn't say that there's not things way beyond that. Because
so
I have no idea.
What do you feel is the average number of DNA strands that you run into when you're doing these reports?
Well, it's rapidly changing because, like I said before, everybody was at 2 strands.
Okay.
And then there was the starseed people who came in, and they were coming in at 144 strands. I just met 2 more girls last weekend online on a show that they came in, and there were 144 strands activated. But there is a general process of awakening where we can go from 2 to 4 strands and then 4 strands to 12, 12 to 144 to 156.
So it's like the Fibonacci.
It's not exactly the same as that, but it's similar.
Okay.
And I don't know why that goes from like 2, 4, 12. Because I don't think I've ever encountered anybody with 6 strands activated. So there is a method to it, but I don't understand it yet.
So that's like 2 times 2 is 4, and then 4 times 3 is 12, and then 12, maybe it's 48 after that? I don't know.
Well, what I've seen, it goes from 12 to 144, so I thought it was 12 times 12, but then there was 156, and then I had asked Heaven one time, and I said, oh, it's because now, because I, on December the 12th, or December, you know, the big day, December the 21st, 2012, the Lords of Karma came in and said, okay, this whole group have had their DNA activated at 144 strands. We're going to give you an upgrade. And I said, okay, well, now I have 156 strands activated, which all the dark side, by the way, has 156 strands activated. And they cannot progress more than that. Satan, Lucifer, Bush, Barbara Bush, George Bush, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, all these people that are on the dark side, they are locked at 156 strands activated, and well, then they'll have 0% sacred life.
So that's why they're so obsessed with you know, messing with our DNA.
That's a whole other show in itself about DNA manipulation and the human trafficking and the human experiments and whatnot. And the Insectians were masters at that. They were just really, really good at DNA work, and they've been around for a long time. I mean, this one guy that I met, he was one of the creators of HIV. He, I think he was, I can't even remember. I'd have to go back and look, but he said that he had, because something really happy, funny happened in my lab. Well, not to the military dudes, but I made these two, they were archons. I made them laugh. And he told me that was the first time he's laughed in 10,000 years. But they were so dark and so evil. And I'm telling him, well, you could just move into the light. That's all you'd have to do. And Father God and Mother God would come down and help you. They would give you new bodies.
Right.
You've wasted 10,000 years in a laboratory trying to create a new lab or trying to create a new body that you can move your spirit into. Well, Father God, they could do that pretty much overnight for you.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we don't do that. That was their answer to so many things I would suggest to them. We don't do that. But that's quite an experience.
Wow.
Patty, while we're here, you want me to just tell you what happened?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so because I have been abducted to 14 out of the 41 my labs. Okay, so I don't know the transport. I don't know technology that well. I just know what happens. Okay, so I open my eyes and I'm sitting. You know those when you go to the doctor's office, it's like a table bed that has paper over it that they can a thing where you set your feet on.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sitting on that, and I've got these two big Insectian dudes who call themselves Doug and Scott. That's not their real name, so, but, you know, they're what most people would call Zeta Reticulans or the Tall Whites or the Grays. Or we all have different names, but they were definitely Insectian beings.
Okay.
Eyeballs, hardly no nose, a tiny little bit of a mouth, and communicated telepathically. And I had been through a lot at that point. They had, they were the two beings that created HIV.
Oh my God.
And it wasn't going exactly what they wanted, the way they wanted it to, so they kept mutating the virus. They had mutated the virus 77 times.
Oh my God.
And all 77 times they had injected into me. And it would really upset them, of course, especially towards the end, because I was overall, I was injected with HIV 187 times by them.
Oh, my God.
Okay. And they would get really upset because I would do healing, you know, and I would heal myself. And I learned how to heal HIV, and I've done it so many times I can practically snap my fingers and heal HIV in somebody else. Well, it's not me that's doing it. It's just that I've done it so many times that I can pull the necessary energies from the universe and wipe HIV out of someone's body in less than 5 minutes. It's just like that.
Awesome.
And it's funny because I would have never, you know, I could have healed myself or whatever, but I would have never gotten to that point if they hadn't done all these things to me. You see what I mean? Because I heard the other day somebody said, oh my God, we really created a monster. Well, it's not that you created me. It's just that what you've done to me and what Mother and Father God have recovered me has made me the person that I am today.
Right.
Okay. So as I'm sitting there, and I mean, this was going, I think it was back in 2012. And it was just day after day. There were so many things, so many attacks. The Dracos were still here. It was constant. I couldn't work, so I couldn't earn money for food and a disability. There was no money for food because I didn't have enough. You know, there just food wasn't in the budget. And so I was going like long periods of time without eating. I didn't have any protein powder, and I was really hungry. And my parents, my father was still alive at the time. Just everybody thought that, because I had three fatal illnesses before, but everybody thought I was just sick again. They didn't know that I had completely recovered from three terminal illnesses, that I was being, that this was injury, that I had all these, you know, dark side people, entities, just basically experimenting on me, injecting me, putting chemicals in me, all this stuff going on. Everybody thought, oh, well, Tori's sick again. Let's just let him rest.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So I wake up, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so hungry. I was like, can we just order something to eat? Because they were working on me, and I couldn't – you can't control your body.
Right. They paralyze you.
They paralyze you. They have every trick in the book you can think of. And they were, it was just one of the times they were injecting me, and they, because they were upset because I would heal, I would eliminate the virus out of my body now. Because they had their plans to wipe out. Well, when HIV was introduced in humanity, it was done by vaccine, and 300 million people were injected with HIV via vaccine. And that's how it started on this planet.
And didn't they start it? They started it in Africa, didn't they?
Well, yeah, and it went over so well that's when it went from Africa almost immediately to the major city, metropolitan areas in the country, and they went right after gay men.
Right.
And San Francisco, New York, Chicago, big places. Here it was introduced, I think, in a smallpox vaccine, and over there, or maybe it was the other way around.
So
one or the other. Smallpox, no, hepatitis B in America, smallpox in Africa. Okay, so I come up, I'm sitting there, I'm on a table, here's Doug and Scott, the aliens, and I'm like, well, let's get something. No, we don't eat. Well, of course, that's a lie, because they eat, the only thing they eat was humans. Of course, they weren't going to eat me, they eat children. And I could see across the room that there was a telephone on there. I was like, look, there's a telephone on the wall, order a pizza, I'm hungry, I want to eat something. No, we don't do that. And I was just like, you know, okay, well, I've got to eat something. I just knew it because, I mean, it was gotten to the point where I didn't have anything in the house or whatever, and it was getting critical. And so then this military dude walks in. I think he was a general. I'd have to go back and check who he was. But he was wearing a blue suit with a black tie, and he had all these colored boxes, those tiny little boxes on it.
They call them scrambled eggs in the military.
And I'm like, and he walks in, and I said, hey, hi, I was like, hey, honey, why don't you do me a favor and go get me a cup of coffee? And he flipped out. He totally flipped out. He goes, oh, that's right. He goes, I'm a five-star general. He started screaming at the top of his lungs. He's like, I don't get coffee. And he's like, don't you know who I am? He was just, he got like a southern accent, like he's from Texas. And looking at these two, you know, these big gray insectian alien dudes, I'm like, dude, you've been in the military all this time and you don't know how to pour a cup of coffee? I'm like, that's really pathetic. And they started laughing. These two aliens started laughing because they were making fun of this guy who was just flipping out. Well, he flips out and he laughed, you know, because the military, there's these men with their egos, they're just so
big time.
But I was laughing about that later. I'm like, God, how stupid is that? I'm like, you can't just go get a cup. Of course, it never occurred to me at the time that he wouldn't get the coffee because of his ego. That's secretary work. You know, it never occurred to me at the time. I kept thinking, God, this guy is like, how old? He's like 50, 60 years old. He can't even pick up a pot and pour a cup of coffee. I was like, oh my God, what an idiot.
And in the meantime, they're like working on your body.
Yeah, and injecting me with chemicals and more virus and stuff like that, and then
that's
it was
crazy.
Like, and then next thing I open, you know, and then it got cloudy, and then I get sleepy, because they do these things where they put you to sleep, and then the next thing I knew, I opened my eyes, and I was at home in bed, and it was just like, okay, here we go, there's another day, you know, there's another day.
Now, how did you recuperate from that? I mean, how did you feel when you woke up the next day?
I felt, every day when I wake up, I feel like I've been run over by a semi-truck. That's pretty much it. But it's gotten a lot better, especially when they were putting the snakes in my body. Those were like a trip. Oh, my God. And that was the insectians, too. That was so, like, something I never would have expected.
Why did they do it?
Well, I think the bottom line, because, well, they have different ones. And professionals were telling me they have these snakes that are, like, on the astral or etheric level that go in and they just wrap around your spine and affect your sexual desires, and it's a way of taking control of a person sexually. And like men who would go to strip clubs, and that's right, I remember, because Eve Lorgan had that on her site about this woman who had a husband who was going to strip clubs, and she was doing all this artwork because she could see the non-human interference in his life, and they were putting things in him, the snakes, but those were different type of snakes. They were almost like non-invasive. Well, except, you know, invasive at the point where they come in and they take you over and they take control of your sexuality, and then they can guide you around and they put you in all these situations, what most people would call sleazy sex, because they would feed off of the frequencies.
Yeah.
You know, they love strip clubs and the lower astral entity places because they feed off of that.
Right.
Excuse me. Okay. Well, the snakes they put in me were different. And the ones, well, there were actually different types, but the first one They were about 18 inches long and just a little bit smaller than a garden hose, like a typical half-inch garden hose.
Oh, my God.
And they were black. And I never expected this. And the first time it happened, and I know this, you know, we should put a disclaimer on. These are my beliefs and my thoughts, you know, not the Galactic Connection site. That, you know, because this is what I'm telling you, and I know that, and I thank you for allowing me to share my experiences. But you know what I mean? This is my liability, is what I'm trying to say, not yours.
Thank you.
But it happened during a rape, and I was being raped by Barack Obama. And I was on my back, and they had me in a position, my legs were in the air, and he was sodomizing me. And he pulled off. And then I didn't really understand what was going on because with the mind control thing, techniques they do, I like to call them spells, the weapons, the paralyzing, the way they freeze your body. I didn't really see the Insectian behind Obama. Mm. And something went right back in my anus. Well, he's got what we call pencil dick. I thought he was just starting again. You know, he ended up raping me over 250 times. It was just over and over again with him and his clones. Well, he had three clones, too. And then, but the funny thing was, is I could feel like a penis inside of me, but he wasn't there. And then they were all gone. And my spirit guy, Peter, was on my side. He goes, honey, you've got a snake inside of you. Oh my God. And, of course, I can't move yet or anything. And I'm like, you have a snake inside of you. And I'm thinking, okay, Peter's telling us a snake inside. And then all of a sudden, because when it went in, it was just like a penis inside of me, and it didn't move. And then all of a sudden, it came to life.
Whoa.
And it was in a slightly different dimension, so it wasn't held by my physicality. In other words, it could travel around my body at will, but not leave my body. It was inside my body. And it started moving around, and it went up, and it started coiling in the center of my torso, and then it hit me. And it was so surreal, I'm like flipping out, okay? I'm like, oh, my God, I have a snake inside of me.
My God.
I have a snake inside of me. And then the weapons and the spell broke because, see, normally during the rapes, I couldn't move. But there would come to a point where it would almost just, like, snap off, and then I could get up out of bed and either go to the bathroom or whatever, to go take a shower or do whatever.
Right.
But this time was different. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then I could feel it moving around a little. It didn't start. It wasn't from, like, 0 to 100%. It got into my body, and it didn't move. And then it started moving a little bit. It was like, kind of like coiling like a thing.
Wow.
And I'm flipping out. Well, luckily, I had some MMS in the house, which is somebody, a scientist created these things where there's two bottles of drops that you mix together and it creates this really intense thing that you drink that will kill a lot of viruses and, you know, crap in your body.
Yeah.
But it's really intense stuff. And I went up, and this was when I was still remodeling the cottage because our family's been, this is our 84th year now. My grandfather built this house, but I had the kitchen was in my bedroom because I was remodeling this room. So I moved everything over there. So I ran over, I call it the temporary kitchen. So I ran over there, and then by the time I got there, I just rapidly mixed this stuff together, and you have to wait for it to activate. And I'm standing there, and I have my legs apart, and then the snake went into full everything. And it went up, and it went around my throat like a coil, and it started compressing my throat.
Oh, my God.
I'm like flipping out. I'm like, oh, God, what the hell's going on with me? And then it broke free. It went down my leg, all the way to my foot, back up my leg, around my groin, down the other leg, and back up. And then it wrapped around my heart. And it was squeezing my heart. And I'm just like, oh, boy, I have a snake inside. I was like, okay, is it ready yet? I was like totally flipping out. Oh, my God, I was flipping out. And so I just grabbed this stuff, and I had mixed it way too strong. I mean, way too strong. And I got the breath, because it makes this like fume if you mix it too strong.
It's very.
And I got the breath in my thing, and I just chugged that thing down. And I know heaven had a part of this, and also my vibrational frequency and my level had a part of this. And it just all of a sudden at once, the snake died. And it went, I could feel it going out, and then it went splat on the floor. And I looked down.
Wow.
And that's when I saw it was a black snake about the size of a garden hose, dead on the floor between my legs. I'm thinking, this is what my life has become.
Not only that, but it's like freaking out. You think that when you've already heard all the stories about what they use to mess with humanity, then you hear something like this. You know, the bottom line is, if people will always remember that the worm is the key intruder, and the worm relates to the virus. And every single thing, especially in the healing, alternative healing arts world, every single thing always gets back to typically a virus. Even when you have an issue like OCD, you can now prove that that is directly treatable through an algorithmic code that's associated with a virus.
Wow.
Everything goes back to that. And what it's always associated with is ultimately a parasitic worm. Isn't that amazing?
It is. Wow. Yeah, and then, it's funny how I really sometimes surprise myself. Because I have this line, where did that come from? Did that come from me? I don't know. And I'm looking at this dead snake on the floor. I thought, what a horrible thing to do to an animal. I didn't realize that they were bred in a laboratory for a specific purpose.
Oh,
at the time, I thought it was just like an animal that they would grab like from a woods or whatever. I didn't realize it was literally a military operation going on.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Because you don't know. That stuff happens to me. I didn't know. Lots. I went like 3 or 4 months of all these things happening to me. Well, I didn't get to the snakes yet, but in the first beginning of, you know, the first 3 months, all this stuff kept happening to me. I didn't know what was going on. I thought I was going crazy. I'd ask mother, I was like, is there a lottery and Sanity the first prize? Can I play the Sanity lottery?
Well,
I want to win.
Listen, I mean, look at how much you've done that has prevented them from being able to move forward in their agenda. So you've been targeted in a really big way, you know?
Yeah.
Really, that's what
I used to really piss them off because they would do, but it's all Mother and Father God, really, and the angels.
Well,
they could have never, ever, ever done almost all of this on my own. Yes, I'm a strong person. Yes, I'm a survivor. Yes, I'm a healer.
Totally.
But there's no way that that I could handle this by myself.
Well,
and so it's funny, when I looked at the snake, the first thing I had was compassion for the snake. I thought, God, what a horrible way to die. He come inside my body. And then my spirit guy goes, honey, that thing never had a chance. Once he got into your body, your vibration was so high, it didn't know what to do. So it just attacked you the best way it could, and then it died. You know, between the energy and the healing energy from heaven and the MMS that I drank, it killed the snake. And then I said, okay, well, we're gonna fix this. And so, and then I called in Zero Point Energy, and we pulled energy from heaven, and we sent the snake into the light.
That's crazy.
And that's when I lost it. That's when it was because I never seem to freak out when it's happening. I freak out when it's over, said and done. After the fat lady things, that's when I freak out. When everybody else is always going crazy during the event, well, I'm always the one to flip out after it's over. And I just remember I just burst into tears and I was crying and I'm like, goodbye, little snakey, goodbye. Have a good time in heaven. I didn't know where it went.
And you're all worried about the snake. What about all the damage it could have done to your body? I mean, for God's sake.
Yeah, well, that was, you know, later. That was to be seen.
So, Tori, let's get back to the zero point. Tell everyone, remember we talked about this a little bit. Can you tell everyone what is the most effective way for you, your technique, and how to call in zero point energy?
Well, I think it boils back to, because every time anybody asks me advice of how to achieve a goal, I always say intent is that, because, you know, I had first heard about, well, I'd heard about this energy from like everybody, but I didn't really put two and two together.
It's true.
That, you know, because, you know, Sylvia Brown used to say, She used to call it the Supreme Immobile. And she would say, there's this energy that holds all the planets together. It holds and controls everything. And because I used to be so amazed by that. If you look at just our solar system, you know, the sun is spinning. The planets are spinning. That we've got the moon spinning around us. We go around the sun over and over, yet we don't fly away. And then scientists are like, well, gravity holds us in place. Well, then if gravity's, why wouldn't gravity just suck us into the sun? There's nothing holding us the other way. So I never believed in gravity holding the solar system together. I just never bought that theory or whatever.
Right.
And so, and then another dude I really like named Greg Braden.
Oh, I love Greg Braden.
The Divine Matrix.
Yeah.
And then as I would look at, you know, now I'm kind of missing out on, but almost every person who's enlightened or spiritually awakened or whatever you want to say, a lot of people who write books and things would all have a word of their own for this. And then I had stumbled upon Sheldon Neidel has a video called Zero Point Energy. And since I've worked with so many different types of energies and lights, as a part of, you know, my being, I thought, oh, here's maybe, because, you know, I didn't really care for Reiki, and I had some bad experiences with people who Reiki or whatever, and I always had a problem with, okay, well, if you want to be a Reiki master, you're going to go find this person, and you're going to learn everything you know through this person. Well, I have a big problem with that, you know, because when I was developing my healing techniques 20 years ago, I started reading books written by doctors, written by spiritual teachers. I wanted to know what everybody thought. I wanted to know everybody's opinion, everybody's expertise. Then I would kind of get my own gist of it and go from there. And then what I was finding with the Reiki was, because my mom's a Reiki master, but she had a wonderful experience and was only involved in high quality people to get there. And she also does therapeutic touch, hands-on healing. She's a licensed massage therapist, and she was an RNC a major psychiatric ward of a major, major hospital in Indiana for almost 30 years.
Wow, good combination. So, you know, so background.
So a lot of that, a lot of my healing, you know, is passed through, you know, my family's lineage.
That's fantastic.
And her mother was also very gifted.
That's fantastic.
So it's not me. It goes on for a while. And that's what Sheldon Neidel has said too. He goes, if you want to work with this energy, you can manifest it with intent.
Yes.
And I watched his video and his, you know, how he went through and he talked about how all of these different teachers had their experiences with zero point, including Nikola Tesla, who I really admire him a lot. I think that if the dark side had not gotten taken a hold of his work, we would have moved into ascension probably 100 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because he was just
so
tuned in and turned on and gifted and, you know, was already talking with galactics and, you know, a lot of his information, you know, he would stumble upon something, he would develop it a little bit, and then he would get help from the galactics and help from heaven.
Right.
And, you know, and that would just manifest his work even more. Of course, you know, then the dark side basically took his work and exploited it. But zero point energy, quite literally, is the consciousness of God. It's God's energy. It does so many different things. It's part of the creation process when planets are created, when stars are created. It powers, it's like basically with proper machinery, you can pull zero point energy out of the air and create electricity with it. It's like an invisible cell phone because you can pull in the zero point energy and connect to any person in the universe and have a conversation with them with no technology, no artificial cell phones or, you know, wired phones or whatever. We don't really need that, which is that's going to happen when our DNA is activated more. We won't need the lower astral technologies. But, and there's just so many things, and there's so much of it I don't really understand. So I've gotten my feet wet a little bit because I've been working with it for, gosh, I didn't even know, 4 or 5 years? I don't even know how long I've been working with it. I can't remember offhand. But for me, it's done many things for, like, it's specifically for healing, because if somebody walked into my house and said, I have HIV, a viral load, I would say, okay, sit down, concentrate. Do you want to get rid of it? Yes. Okay. I would call in zero point energy, and zero point energy would basically dismantle the virus, render it useless, dissolve it, and then move it into the light. All of the energy would be transmuted, and that's it. And it would be flushed out of the body within minutes. And then the days afterwards is, you know, the cleansing process and detox process. But it would literally be deactivated, dissolved, and removed within minutes. And also, we can do the same with cancer viruses. It helps to be specialized if you have a lot of experience. Like I've said, you know, with HIV, I've been through that so many times, a couple hundred times, that it's like nothing to me now. And then I'm sure cancer would be the same way. It would just take, I hate to use the word practice, but practical application that you do. Anything you do over and over and over, you get better at. You know what I mean?
Well, the same thing applies with cancer that Dr. Hulda Clark found. She found that the majority of the patients that she worked on that had cancer, she found an amalgamation of what? Worms.
Yeah.
In that location.
Everybody has parasites are the key to everything. And that's one thing when they designed HIV, that's one thing when they brought the drugs in that would kill the virus would go and then hide inside the parasites. And it would, they specifically created this virus so that it could go and hide in the body so it wouldn't be wiped out completely. Why? Because they wanted the money. They wanted to keep people on the drugs. Right. And, you know, a cancer is very simply healed, but it's not, because money. It's all about money. Of course, those are the lower things about to be thrown out the window, but.
Tori, I have to throw something out here. I have a friend who is a brilliant doctor, and he likes to work under the radar. Anyway, he told me that through his work, his alternative healing work, he has worked with people that he scanned their DNA. He was able to determine that they had no cancer in their body, okay? And then they got some sort of lump on their breast. And he said to them, don't go into the hospital. If you go into the hospital, bad things are going to happen. Because I'm telling you right now, there is no cancer. That tumor is really more to do with a backed up lymphatic system. Okay? Because you have tons of lymph nodes in your breasts, right? They get scared. They go into the hospital. They came out of the hospital. They said, well, we were told that I have cancer. He says, you don't have cancer. This is off your DNA. You don't have cancer. But he said that what he noticed was the moment they came back out after they had run the tests on him, on her, that she then had cancer cells. And he has now seen that in 6 different patients. And he's now seen that they are injecting something in these people. So it ties in with what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of people work in the medical industry and don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're injecting, and they're just so blindly following, like, you know, doctors who inject pregnant women and babies with all these deadly chemicals. They're just so blindly following the orders of the dark side,
right,
that they don't even, because they think that they're helping people. But, you know, because one of my biggest things was with HIV doctors. Well, it's like a mantra. We had this major, major conglomerate group called Parkview Hospital, and it's like a mantra of the doctors, you will never heal. I have been told that by so many doctors in this community,
wow,
you will never heal. And I'm like, excuse me, but how can you prove that? How do you even know that, first of all, and how can you prove it? How can a doctor go to a patient and tell them you will never heal?
And
I hear
God?
That over and over again.
That's amazing. That's like playing God.
It is. And then it's like, oh, and then what's your answer? Okay, well, you should start taking this prescription drug, like heavily, deadly, toxic chemical, you know, and you could probably take this. Most people just take this for the rest of their lives. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not most people, idiot, you know, and then leave. But it's gotten so out of hand. I mean, there are good doctors out there left. And the funny thing is most of the doctors are the ones who are old and, you know, like in their 60s, 70s, and 80s.
They remember the old ways.
Yes, and they haven't been heavily programmed by the dark side, but it's just amazing. And then, well, the recent thing about taking pain medicine, the politicians decided, Illuminati politicians, decided that people who needed pain medicine were criminals and were drug addicts. Mm-hmm. And so everyone, it's like here in Indiana, they decided, okay, we're going to take everyone's pain medicine away. And the only way you can get pain medicine now is to go to a pain specialist. And it's just the paperwork. I went to one pain specialist. It was just, I don't even know how many page after page after page. It was a contract.
Right.
And it was basically over the top. It was like, okay, you're a criminal and you're here and you want pain medicine because you're a drug addict and a criminal. And I'm like, no, I want pain medicine because I got beaten up and raped by a bunch of aliens last night, you know, and my everything, that shit they put in my body, the chemicals, the snakes, and all this other shit they're putting in my body. That's why I'm in pain, and the weapons are useless.
I'm laughing. I'm sorry, but this is the way you just, say it.
No, because you're laughing with me. It's like, not, you know, at me. It's just ridiculous. You know, of course, I can't. So I just finally gave up. And, in fact, the only time I went to a doctor last year was to be treated for poison ivy. And I just got the bill for that. It was $820.
Oh, my God. I could have given you
a medical clinic. I didn't even go to
a homeopathic, and it would have knocked it out. Seriously.
Yeah, well, I have a thing with poison ivy. It's, well, with all this other stuff they're using on me. I mean, there was one time where I went to the hospital where I was so overloaded that when I drove past, we have a really gnarly cell tower here, real close, about a mile and a half away. And then when I drove past it in the car, my right side of my face scrunched up and that I couldn't release it until I got about half a mile away from the cell tower. But it was just like, I was like, my head starts shaking. I'm like, oh, this is great. This is all I need now.
That's crazy.
And, you know, it was too much. And that was right around the time they had cut me off the pain medicine. Because, well, the pain levels were, well, they were using it. They had this one thing, it's a stun gun. And I think they electrocuted me. I don't even know. I think one point I checked, it was like 80,000 times. Where they hit you and it's literally like hitting you with a stun gun. And they would come in and then, well, that's the way they killed me several times, was with this stun gun. Well, I call it, you know, when you're out of your body and God has to come and put you in your body.
Right.
Because I have a mother guy would say that to me all the time. Heaven's not ready for you yet. And I'm like, well, can you go back and check? You know, like God's not going to know yet. Right. Like, Mother God, are you sure?
So, Tori, let's do something totally different. I would like you to go down the list of planets in our solar system that you've actually either visually seen or visited or, you know, pulled somebody up on or what have you. Are you game?
Well, you know what? And I was just getting my feet wet with that. And I had worked very long and hard on astral travel and I was getting very good at it. And that's when the dark ones really came into my life full force. And what I did was, because I told you about how I got into the sun, and the sun was really the first big, the first time I could realize that stars could be hollow. And I was also making trips to Agartha, which anyone can do. All you have to have is sacred light of 51% or more, which is considered a light being. Now, and the dark ones are considered 51% or less, or 50% or less. And so when you astral travel, you make it your intent, you can go into Agartha in the inner earth. You can go to inner Venus because Venus is an incredibly beautiful planet on the inside. Mercury, I don't know. I think Mercury's hollow, but nobody lives there for some reason. And then we had another planet, Vulcan, which is gone. Vulcan was between Mercury and the sun, but it blew up. I really don't know what happened to it. I just know it was there and it's not there now. And so...
So is Agartha like really?
It looks like heaven.
Okay, and the, what like about heaven. Venus?
Venus, I have not been inside yet.
Okay,
but I plan to now that because I wouldn't even meditate in the past. I used to meditate a lot, and that's one of the ways I healed myself. And I would do a lot, and I would do astral travels and all kinds of things. But then when the dark came in, I couldn't do that because. Since they are such manipulators of our souls and our astral bodies, they can snatch you, and that's happened to me. They would snatch from, I would leave my body and they would immediately snatch me. And they can make a whole, there's a whole nother realm over there and where they're in control because they've been doing this for millennia.
That's amazing.
And I'm like, okay, that's it for me. I'm going to stay in my body.
And so what would happen if they would snatch your soul? Because I mean, there's a lot of controversial information out there about the ripping off of the souls through the military. Like, this is a big project. I mean, you know, what happens at that point? You said that they actually put the soul in a box and you saw them in Saturn, for example. You know, wouldn't that have happened to you?
Well, when this all started happening, when the Dark Ones came into my life, the first thing I did was start writing contracts with God. And which most people call Akashic Records, or our charts, the Hall of Charts. Like, we write a chart before we're born. And I said, okay, all this stuff's going down. I want it declared in the universe. And because they kept saying that, they kept telling me that they owned me. And I didn't buy into that. And they would shapeshift, and it shapeshift into Jesus Christ and try to trick me into saying, oh, kneel before me, you will worship me as your God, pretending to be Jesus. And I'd be like, oh, I love Jesus Christ. I've known him for years, and we've done all kinds of healing work together. You know, and that was not the answer I was supposed to give.
You're right.
So I never officially gave my soul to them, and that would really piss them off. I'm really good at pissing these people off. And
yes, I know.
I wrote contracts out, and I said, if there is such, because Mother and Father God don't own our souls, and they told me that, and I said, well, whatever, I don't care that you don't consider you don't consider owning your children. However, I'm writing in my contract that if anybody does own my soul, it's you. I want Mother and Father God to have complete and total ownership of my soul. I wrote it all out. Put it in contract. I signed it and God signed it. And even though he said he didn't own my soul, but that way they could never get my soul. And I wrote out specific contracts with God that, and one of them was that eventually the evidence would come out because everything was being recorded. And then also the galactics were coming in at certain points. Like some of the really intense experiences that I had or that I was in, because I didn't have them. I was in them. That, like in the time when I was raped while they murdered children immediately following the rape, you know, when I was still in the room, the galactics recorded that. And I was told that 17 trillion people witnessed that, which I can't comprehend. And, it's just some of these numbers are too big for me. And then, you know, and then later I learned, well, there's 800 million sentient species. And if there's 800 million species of people in our universe, how many of each of those 800 million people are there? You know, because there could be a trillion of a type of people. I mean, look how many different humans. There's 56 species of humans just in our galaxy alone. And then look how many galaxies there are. We're talking huge numbers. But they told me that most of the people watching were from the Milky Way and also Andromeda. And then I think there's a couple of other galaxies nearby, like the Sombrero Galaxy.
Oh, that's
but and then there's other things too that happened that they were, because I remember another time that they said there was like 6.1 trillion. I was like, did you mean million? And they're like, no, trillion.
Wow, that's
there were 6.6 trillion people watched what happened to you.
So, one time
I was sitting at the table and the Galactics came in and interviewed me, and it was one of the few times I had to break this. These experiences would go on for like 12, 15, 20, 30 hours at a time. And I would finally break away and run to the kitchen. I remember one time I had poured a bowl of cereal and I was like wolfing down cereal and they were trying to interview me. And I'm like, I'm sorry to eat like an animal, but this is it. Cause I know they're coming right back. And I'm shoveling food down my,
mouth. Crazy. So tell us a little bit about you. Cause you've alluded to this on the last interview, but there's so much confusion out there about all the different gods. Okay. Some people say that the old Mother, Father, God has been killed, and this was the one that really didn't care about his children, and I think they're referring to Anu, right?
Well,
I was wondering what you thought about all that.
One time when I was talking to the children of my family, I explained to them what I know to be true is there is a creator of this universe, and his name is Father God. And his twin flame, his partner, is Mother God. And there have been a lot of people, like especially around like in the Egyptian times, after the fall of Atlantis, very advanced, what most people would call extraterrestrials, would come down, and they would have all their, you know, we would be living, people would be living here in very primitive circumstances, and all of a sudden a spaceship would come down, they would have all this technology, and the person would say, I'm a god. And the people would say, okay, you're a god.
Right. Right.
And it was just like, well, he must be a god because he's got all this technology.
Right.
You know, looks like a god to me. Let's go with it. And so, so what I see is there's a lot of people that call themselves gods. But then we also use that term because I know there's the creator goddesses, like the Mahavidyas, and then the solar Elohim or Elohim, they called that group of entities creator gods.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, there's only, you know, Mother and Father God.
So
and then
you,
a lot of other people.
What do you feel is the difference between divine creator and supreme creator? Is there?
I don't know that I would see any difference, just a play on words.
And the only reason I ask that is because in the Bible, it very much specifies that they're two different entities.
Yeah, well, how many times is a Bible rewritten by dark entity reptilians?
I agree.
Like
trust
version.
Me, I agree.
As long as you're like, I only read the King James Version. I'm like, did you know King James was a reptilian? Did you know he was a dark entity reptilian? You know, these people, oh, I'm going to put my name on the Bible because I'm King James. I'm like, well, good for you. You know, it's just, and then people read it and they think it's the law of the land. And it's like, hello. You know,
God,
it's like some crazy lizard came along and changed your religion. Now you're
going
to believe it just because he's like, whatever. Ugh. I'm
so
a little stressed.
Another question. Do you feel that there's more than one universe? Have you seen more than one universe in your travels?
I don't. What I can comprehend is there's just the one universe, but there are so many different dimensions. And then especially when you get into different timelines, and I don't even know how they spread out. You know, like there was a TV show called Sliders where there was an infinite number of Earths, and every time they would jump through a portal, they would land in a different Earth. And so there's like all that kind of energy going on or different timelines. And then some people said our souls can like we come to a choice, we make a choice. And this one says yes, and that one says no, and then our souls almost like kind of split, and then we go off, and then there's another thing created. So with all of that going on, I don't know. But bottom line is I don't know. I can only deal with the one universe, and that's all I can handle.
Well, I'm just asking what have you experienced. Now, what about timelines? At this point in time, what do you feel we're looking at as far as the number of timelines left or existing now?
Well, what I feel is, you know, what was reiterated today was that heaven took control of the situation here on Earth.
Yeah.
That normally in a free will, there's no interference. And that's why I always said, you know, it's, you know, Sylvia Brown has said, if you ever want something done, go to Mother God, because Father God is like hands off. You know what I mean? Because, you know, like, well, if you charted to get cancer, you're not going to call heaven and they're not going to come down with a magic wand and just tap you on the shoulder and have the cancer removed.
Right.
It would defeat the purpose of you coming here in this reality to get cancer and learn from it and grow.
Right.
If they just took it away from you. So
right.
It's like, no, you're not going to take it away. But, you know, what you can do is you can say, okay, well, I've got the cancer. I want to learn to heal from it. Heaven, will you teach me how to heal myself completely? Then the answer is yes. So a lot of stuff is put on us. But I really feel that we are completely under the edict of heaven right now. And
incredible.
That all this darkness is being removed because heaven wants our solar system and our galaxy to move up to the galactic level, which is everyone operating at 100% sacred light, which I don't believe that we can achieve in this reality that we're in right now.
Right.
The highest I've ever seen is 92%.
Right.
And I've seen that in quite a few different people. And people from different walks of life, people from walks of life where, like entertainers, musical performers. I've seen it in a few specific women who sing, that have 92% sacred light, Chardet being one of them. I just love her. People who project and channel love frequencies to the crowd.
Right.
And also receive that energy, but they do more projecting. See, most musical performers pull energy from the crowd. They're into that worship energy because most of them are either dark entities or on the Luciferian Illuminati side.
I never
with 37% or zero, like Katy Perry. Katy Perry has 0% sacred light.
Wow.
And she pulls energy for herself and for the dark side through the worship energy. But then she's also doing, I don't know if I mentioned this before, she has astral overlays, which is an invisible video on top of a video. And her birthday, where she has this, like, it's your birthday, and I forget the name of the song, but it's a birthday video where she has birthday parties, and she plays 5 different characters. Well, over that is an invisible video of little girls being raped and murdered. Okay, and this is all very Illuminati, Luciferian, and they do things like this all the time. And then there's all these heavy metal bands or whatever.
Yeah, really,
and there's
really
so much energy work going on through that.
Yeah.
But
I just never thought of it as they're actually extracting energy from you when they're entertaining. That's very interesting.
Yeah, well, that goes back to the grid lines, because it was not only that, it was the football stadiums. They harvest energies from that. It was all about, that's where the Insectians and the dark side and the dark entity reptilians would get their energy from. They would harvest that energy from us, and that was a big thing for the Vatican. And I remember telling this, I worked with a woman 10 years ago, and I love Catholic people. They're so good, and they're so devoted to God. And it was coming out about the priests. And I told her, I said, no, honey, they're doing that on purpose. They are harvesting innocence energy out of a child. When they go and they rape a child, it's specific because they are basically taking the innocence energy out of the child and taking it for the church. And that's basically, there's so much more going on, but that's the bottom line right there. It's all about, and because they're like a parasite, like you're going back to the parasites of viruses. Well, so many viruses are of the dark side creation, if not all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
And it goes back to the serpent worship, pulling the energy, harvesting the energy from us. It's like, we're like, that's why I like the movie The Matrix, because we are literally the batteries. That wasn't just symbolic, that was literal. We are, the humans are the batteries powering the dark side, and that's what we are now. Are we going to continue to be batteries powering the dark side, or are we going to say, no, I want freedom, I want liberty, I want justice, what are we going to do?
And take your power back. Take your authority back, because you yourself are the master now. Yes.
Yeah. And another thing I would like to tell people is back to when you're asking about astral travels, that when people set their intent, and because I wouldn't say 100% of dark entities are gone, because we have 66 planets in this, oh, I call them planets, moons and planets, worlds, I should say, 66 worlds in our solar system with sentient colonies of people. And most of them were all dark, and especially when you get out. Now, there's one planet that's out past Pluto that the people live inside, and they're beautiful. They have beautiful, beautiful violet skin, and they're human. They're a species of human, but they don't want to be introduced yet to, because their vibrations are very high. And a lot of times they speak to Indians that are here, Native Americans and Indians, not Indians from India, because they got their own thing going on.
I told you I saw them when I made your remedies for you.
Oh, is that who you saw?
That's who came in. They were beautiful. They were like lavender with opalescent sparkly.
Yes.
And they're really pretty. Their heads looked a little bald, but yeah, I was like, wow, that's the first time I'd seen one like that.
Sparkly glow.
Very, very, and very, kind of a little bit on the shy side.
Yes. Because the frequencies here are, it's almost too contaminating for them.
So cool.
So they come in, but soon, once we have the new governance, and the horrible, evil criminals are removed from the government, because it's not our government that's really doing all this shit to us. It's the criminals that have taken over the government.
Correct.
But that's not our government. You know what I'm saying? It's the criminal.
Okay, so speaking of the government, what, you know, I'd like you to do your little magic
Okay.
And tell me what you are feeling and seeing from this point forward with all the existing politicians and bankers. You know, what are you seeing from, say, Obama? You know, what are you feeling that's going to happen with him now?
Well, you know, like I've said before, I don't do future well. I've heard, you know, because there have been a lot of military people around. I know that there's been a lot of people that have been trying to kill him. But I also know, like, because Mother God told me specifically, she wants Dick Cheney sitting in a courtroom, and they're going to show evidence, video evidence, to all of humanity, everybody on this planet, everybody, the reptilian humans, everybody. We used to say humanity is just an expression.
Yeah.
But Mother God wants him sitting in a courtroom exposing, because he has done more damage to the planet than all the wars combined.
Wow.
With his chemicals. He's just like the chemical pusher. And so I really would, if I had to make a guess about what was going on, is that, so people, before we can move on, there's so many, such a high number of percentage of the population of the people, like the Missouri people, oh, you got to show me before I believe it.
Yeah, the and show me state, yeah.
There's so many people that are like, oh, Mr. Obama's a wonderful man. I'm like, really, if he's a wonderful man, why does he rape and murder children? And John Kerry and John McCain and the Bushes, the Cheneys, the Clintons, the Obamas, the Reagans. Why are all these men raping children if they're such good people?
And you've actually seen this in your astral traveling and your experiences of being a recipient of rape.
Yes. Yes.
Amazing.
Firsthand. Amazing. Multi-dimensionally. I've seen this, experienced it firsthand.
Wow.
And that's why, because I heard this one woman say, why hasn't this man been arrested? And it's because I'm telling the truth. You know what I mean? How far, because I've been talking about this for years now, how far do you think I would have gotten? Because someone used the N-word about Mr. Obama and they were arrested. There was another man that I saw him on Alex Jones that called Mr. Obama, quote unquote, bathhouse Barry. And they planted a gun in his house and arrested him and put him in jail.
Wow.
And it's not – because they – one time – oh, I think it was when I exposed exposed is a good word. What's his name from the CIA? I'm just blacking out his name right now. We have such a long history, too. He killed me 13 times. You think I can remember his name? Okay. Sometimes I do that. I go to mention someone's name and I just black it out.
Well, because you don't want to remember the experience, huh?
And I just had this thing where I go to say someone's name and it's just gone, so I have to just let it go and then it comes back. And I don't know, it's just a thing I've always had, probably because all the hits of weapons or I don't know. But anyway, the point was somebody came up and said, you know, you're the only person on the planet who could say that and quote unquote get away with it. And I said, well, I didn't say that just because I wanted to get away with something, you know, because I have, you know, my moral, if I had a mission or whatever, my agenda is to do whatever I can to bring this child trafficking situation to an end.
Right on.
That's just like I have this whole drive to do that. And it's like, I don't say things about people to, you know, to slander them or to get away with it.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to do what I can to help other people look at the situation and they say, okay, well, if Tori says this guy's raped and murdered 300 children, you know, maybe I should do some evidence or maybe I should look into some of this evidence and you know, but just nobody does that, it seems. It just, we don't, all these law enforcement agencies that we have, these three letter agencies, what are there, like 41, 45 of them? None of them are out for justice. Even the Justice Department, who is so beyond criminal, seems like everyone's doing what they can to support the dark side, because the dark side has just infiltrated the government so much. But we'll see. You know, we're right here at the point where we're going to see what happens.
So, Tori, you talk a lot about the Illuminati. What about the Vatican? What about the Ndrangheta that Kevin Annette talks so much about?
Well, I think that I don't even know how many different groups there are. I tend to use that word because they've all kind of merged into using that word, because there's the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg. Because the Bilderberg is basically a pedophile group. Every time they get together, they have a whole like 30 to 40 children and they rape them all. And then they usually kill most of them. Sometimes they let some live, but that's just because they want to take the children and keep them as sex toys, you know, in their private homes or whatever. And, there's just so many, and I just kind of lump them all together and use the Illuminati as one word, because the, as they've all kind of merged together, they're all part of the Luciferian Satanists. There's Molech, the owl, you know, they had Anu and, Baphomet, you know, the dude with the horns and,
star. Yeah.
Yeah, and so there was a whole bunch of entities for them to worship, and they all had their different little groups, and Skull and Bones, Freemasons, the Jesuits, the Vatican, you know what I mean? It's just,
so many
just
of them.
For simplicity's sake, it's just, I tend to lump it all into one word, either the dark side, the Illuminati, or, you know, whatever, the New World Order.
So is it possible that, you know, for example, the Obama that's raped you, I think you said 250 times or something, is it possible that that is a different entity than another Obama? You know, is there another Obama out there that is spreading divine light? And
that's where it gets really tricky, because when in the heat of this, because it started out with George H.W. Bush. He was the first one, and he was the first one that was coming in, and he would come in with Secret Service agents. And then some of them, he would come in with shapeshifters also, and which was very confusing to me. Because I would see somebody, but yet it didn't seem like it would be them. And it was, you know, as I developed my skills of reading DNA, you know, then I would start to be able to identify people easier. But there were multiple people as Obama. In other words, there was what I've been told by heaven, what they call the avatar. Okay, and then there was a reptilian entity, a non-physical reptilian entity that also, so that person had the ability to almost like have their own soul, the avatar and their soul. And then there was the reptilian entity who was also what I would call the hosting entity of the body.
Wow.
Okay, and then there was the Draco that was attached to the rear. So there was like three in one there, or maybe even more, because then we had those spirit things that could jump into our bodies too. And so sometimes to make them more evil, a whole bunch of dark entity spirits would jump into the body too. So there could be like a whole community going on in one body. Okay, and then what really confused me, because Obama would come back so many times. And, you know, and they would do their thing, whether either they would knock me out, they would put me to sleep, and sometimes I'd be washing dishes in the kitchen at 2:30 in the afternoon, and then I would wake up, I would open my eyes, and I would be standing naked in my bedroom, obviously heavily sodomized for 3 hours, I'd be just missing time.
Oh my God.
And so, you know, it would take, I had so many experiences like that. Well, with Obama, he would come in and then he would leave, and then 15 minutes later he would show up again. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You're back again. I mean, like, just, you know, I mean.
Why do you really think he did that? Why do you think he
did? Because it wasn't, and it took me a while to figure this out, and it wasn't until I was reading DNA, because I was looking at a picture of one of the Obamas, and I was doing his DNA percentages, and then I was like, well, wait a minute. That's not. Am I inaccurate? I thought, well, so that's not, because a week ago I read Obama's DNA and it was different. One of them was like 79% reptilian and, you know, and then the rest 21% human. But then I was like, this Obama, I was looking at, I was like, wait a minute, how is he like 8% insectian, you know, 70 or 68% reptilian? And, you know what I mean? And the numbers were off. And then I started doing more and more research, and there were four Obamas. And I was like, oh, my God, that explains why he's coming in over and over, because one would come in, and then they would leave. And then another, maybe half an hour later, another one would come in, and then they would leave. And then another one would come in, and I thought it was the same guy. Or I thought, well, maybe it's a shapeshifter. So there's all this stuff going on. And there's a possibility that, you know, there are still shapeshifters here. So I don't – because obviously I don't know everything in the universe.
So basically those are all clones then. There's all these different clones walking around.
Well, I knew at the time there was the main Obama, and then he had three clones. And none of them had the exact same DNA structure as the main one.
Interesting.
And then I did some more research later, and because I really think that he was – pretty much created in a laboratory and then injected into the mother, because he had the, I had looked back that he had the exact same DNA as someone who lived in the Egyptian times. And it's almost like they kept this DNA of an Egyptian person and kept it in the laboratory and then reintroduced it.
Whoa.
Into the mother. And then when she had the baby in Kenya, that was the one that was born in Kenya, because they weren't all, one of the bombs was born in Brazil. And then, but all four Obamas were from four different locations. And then I don't really know that they lost the ability, because I know that there was a time, and I can't remember if it was last summer or when, because I'm not good with time, but all of the clones ceased to exist. None of them really had souls, but yet they had these other, there were these other reptilian astral, or not astral, but reptilian souls or beings that didn't have physical bodies, that they could also jump into the clone's body. So there was the clone who would be almost like conscious, the conscious ability to do anything. But yet, and then sometimes the reptilian spirit could jump into that being, and then there was like a couple of them there. So you know what I mean? So this is something I always say, that heaven's going to have to sort this out for all of us. Because it's too much for, you know,
me. So how do they, how are the souls typically extracted from the person's body? Is it at the point of death only?
See, well, I know that they do that. There's soul extraction at the point of death. But how it begins in the laboratory, I don't know. But there was so much manipulation going on with people's souls. And the clones, and there's just, it's just, you know what I mean? I don't have, you know, most of the answers. I don't know.
That's crazy.
But I've seen stuff that's just so whacked out. You know, there was a time I would call heaven. I'm like, am I really sane? I mean, every 15 minutes, I swear to God, all day long, I would say, am I sane? And the answer was yes. Of course, I guess people that are, they're not sane, don't ask that question. But still, there's so much overwhelming stuff that I don't know.
So what about the queen? You know, what percentage of sacred light does she have?
Zero.
Okay. So would the same apply to people like Clinton?
Zero.
Know, zero.
Both Hillary and Bill Clinton,
Hillary.
Zero.
Hillary's really nasty.
Well, you know, the funny thing happened with her one of the times she came in after her clones were sent into the light, or I don't really know what happened to the bodies, but or it's just because it's multidimensionally. But I know that they were, what I would just say, sent into the light. So I don't know if just the physical body expired, because they were conscious beings. But they would say they were soulless, but yet they were a conscious being. So there was something that animated that. So it was almost, maybe it wasn't a soul like you and I are. It was a soul of something else.
I've talked to Steve about this. I keep thinking to myself, what about the clones where like a percentage of the soul is put in the clone? You know, this is something that, my husband and I have gotten information on. So they'll take a percentage of that individual's soul and they'll put it into a clone, and then the clone is upset because the clone feels that it's part of a soul connection, and yet there's this blanket statement out there that, oh, if they're a clone, they're not real, and so we just need to, like, you know, kill them or get rid of them or what have you.
Yeah. And what, because also the clone would have all the memories.
Right.
Of the other person and could function perfectly as the person.
At what point do you basically go in and
entertain at a party or whatever, and the clone would know what was going on, because the person could leave and go do something else, and then the clone could come up out of the basement or whatever and then interact in the party, and the clone would know what had happened. It was almost like they were a symbiont thing going on between all of them.
So how do you determine life and the difference between a real soul and a clone?
Yeah,
and supposedly there are a ton of clones walking around on this planet, supposedly.
Well, see, I don't know if they're all still here, and then I don't know when the main clones were taken out. I know that there was a time that all the main clones were taken out, and because there's several of them were here when, and I don't really understand how they left. But there was massive energy work going on, and then sometimes when I'm working with zero point energy, it forms a double vortex. There's right. two tornadoes of energy because my hands go. This one goes clockwise, this one goes counterclockwise, okay. and the energy goes out like a tornado into the person, and then they would be here. One minute they'd come in and they'd be attacking it, either with energy or with mental abilities or whatever, and then we'd be working on them, and then they were gone.
Wow.
And so I don't always know, and I use a blanket term, they went into the light, because I don't know how they left, but they would just instantly be gone.
Wow.
So, but then one time I remember when Hillary Clinton came in, this is, sometimes I would just get delirious, and I tend to laugh more than cry. And then some people laugh in situations when they should be crying. Well, that happens to me a lot. But one of the times I saw Hillary Clinton as she really is, and I freaked out and I just started laughing hysterically. Oh my God, that's what you really look like.
What does she look like?
It was just like,
what does she look like?
Like a hideous monster. Ooh. And I would say that when you Google reptilians, they look pretty compared to the way she looked. Like her and Barbara Bush have to be the ugliest, nastiest creatures.
Wow.
That they're so vile. Just like this brownish green kind of lumpy. Is it a dinosaur? Is it a lizard? Is it, you know, you don't know what. Because, I mean, I've seen galactic reptilians and they look, you know, they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know? They, you know, wear purple robes and they glow and they're all very like diplomatic and wonderful and divine, you know, and they're glowing with light and, right. and stuff. And, right. But these are just like something. I call them sewer lizards because I always say they look like they just crawled right out of the sewer. Oh my God. And then they stink. It's just, and then I tell people, you know, they're coming in and they're invisible. But you can smell them like hundreds of feet away.
Wow.
And I'm like, that has to be a really nasty odor. If you're coming in and you can't even see the person, but you can smell them, that's pretty nasty. And I tell them all the time, you know, if you're going to sneak up on somebody, you should take a bath it's nasty. It is so, really nasty.
So, Tori, we have about 5 minutes.
Okay.
So in that 5 minutes, did you want to drop the bombshell about the evidence that you have regarding the meat in the hamburgers?
Oh, what just came up?
Yes.
We were talking about that before, and you know what? I was wrong because I said I didn't watch the children be processed as food. And, you know, I said that and afterwards. I thought, wait a minute, that don't sound right. I'm like, uh-oh. Because, you know, a lot of these things I can't go back and look at. Because I'll freak out.
Right.
But, and then, like when that time when they murdered the 54 children and I was in the room, I kept telling everybody, oh, they're fine. Oh, I helped them. I was talking to them. Because I remember the conversation that I had with some of the children around me because they all left the room and then they came back. And when they left the room, I was talking to the children and I kept saying, oh, they're all fine. And Heaven would say, yes, they're all fine. Well, Heaven does a saying, they were brutally murdered right in front of your eyes and now they're in heaven. Heaven was saying, yes, honey, they're fine. Yes, Tori, they're fine. And I was like, okay, well, I did help them, right? Oh yeah, you helped them. But in other words, I couldn't look right. at what I saw for right. months later. And then when I did, I flipped out and I was a basket case for days. Or
absolutely.
For not a week.
Absolutely.
And this, but what happened was this guy's name is Mark Jacobs, and I was spelling his name wrong. It's not M-A-R-C, it's M-A-R-K.
Okay, and by the way, everybody, I did post this up on Galactic Connections' daily blog page, so take a look at it. Anyway, go ahead.
And I tried to, and then I realized tonight when I wrote that, I realized that I left out where they're going, because what they're doing is once the children have been processed into my labs, then they're shipping them to Minnesota. And I haven't had time to research it, but Heaven says, but all this energy work, I'm like, all of a sudden I point towards, because Minnesota is like right over there. It's right on the other side of Chicago, almost in the same direction, in other words. Because on these energy blasts that we're doing, there's six major points. There's Boston, New York, Washington, D.C., and then there's Texas, Denver, and now, Chicago and Minneapolis have come up. excuse me, just recently okay. that I've been doing this energy work.
Okay.
And so because when I'm doing these energy blasts, I just have God, I say, okay, God, where are we going to do first? And then all of a sudden my body will flip over and then we start going. And then we do a multitude of different energy work. But what happened was, you know, because I've been saying that I don't understand how they come in, but I know that they do come in. And I came in, it was just a couple of days ago, and I came in the kitchen and there he was standing right in front of me and he wanted to kill me. This was the ninth time he tried to kill me. But their weapons don't work anymore. One is because of the grid, and then one's because the vibration's going up so much. And then also the photons, the photonic light is just my take on that is that it's just getting rid of the evil. It's just dissolving in the way the evil and making evil impossible to exist. Well, that because their weapons used to hurt like hell.
Yeah.
When they would fire that weapon at you, boy, you would be crippled. And your skin would turn like this bluish gray color and you'd start sweating and you'd go into pain and you could hardly move and you'd collapse and you'd down for sometimes 12, 16 hours.
We got 2 minutes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll get to the point. So he came in and he was doing his thing and firing this weapon at me, trying to kill me. And, you know, so what I did was with the sacred fire, we transfigured all his energy out. Father God took it up into the light.
Good.
And then I could see what he has done. And there were, I could just see the process. And then when I told you last week that I didn't see the children being processed as food, okay, well, that was completely wrong. And I started seeing it all over again. And it was like a flash before my eyes. Not only did I see what he and Cargill were doing with these children and putting them into the meat supply, but I was seeing how they were processing the children, and then it activated other memories where I was seeing the Insectians do the exact same thing.
Oh,
and that's what they were doing. They were processing, Cargill is processing the children almost in the exact same way that the Insectians did it,
God.
But at the end it's different because, see, the Insectians would eat the children, but now instead of that, they're turning the children, the final process, first what they do is they dissolve the hair, skin, and nails off of the children with the chemical treatment. And then what's left is the part that they like. So that's washed off. And then they process. And then what they're doing is turning the children into a paste. Well, the Insectians didn't do that. The Insectians did something else, and they would harvest the children that way. And there were like 26,000 of these beings around. So there was children. There's so many undocumented children, they just disappear and nobody cares. People don't even know their neighbors nowadays, so
oh my God.
If somebody disappears, you know, nobody notices. And so I saw all of that, and it just hit me, and I started, you know, and then I started reading his DNA, and I said, oh my God, you're doing this with our children? And how many children have you done? And then all of a sudden the number just came right up, 2156. Cargill has put, and I said to him, you put 2,156 children into the meat supply? And I was flipping out, I was screaming at him. He goes, and there's that damn thing you can do about it. And I think,
cut you off, but I did want everybody to be aware of the fact that this has been confirmed through Tori's experiences. And I want to thank you, Tori. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we are running out of time. I wanted to thank everybody for staying tuned. Tori and I are probably going to keep doing this. We know that we've had at least 13 lives together and done a lot of healing together. And we feel strongly that we need to continue to get some more information out there to all of you. I just want to thank all of my audience for visiting the daily blog page and supporting us. We do live off of the donations and, of course, supporting my essence work and the implant removal series. So once again, stay tuned. We will see you next week, Tuesdays, BBS Radio Station 2 from 3 to 4:55. And I hope you enjoyed this very enlightening, interesting interview with Tori. Thanks, Tori.
Thank you so much. God bless you, dear.
God bless you. I love you. Thanks for all you do. I know it's been tough.